Well, good evening. I'm happy this evening to have Cora Hogue with us. All of you know Cora, who serves in a number of roles, director of our adult Bible school. She runs the pre-marriage class. She's over our small groups. Another important factor, also she's our counselor and watches over much of our counseling that goes on. But a very important role that you may not know that she's involved in, and that I certainly have encouraged her in, is that Cora also makes visits, often like Carol does. Cora does that as well. And she will visit many of our shut-ins and of our elderly, and certainly has developed a great love for the elderly, and certainly has developed a lot of experience in that. So I've asked her if she would come and share with us as elders, things that we need to be thinking about as we minister to those who would be considered elderly in our parishes. She gave a talk that I was unaware of a number of years ago, back in 2003, to the diaconate on this very same subject. And indeed, much of the material that she's going to be using here is what she gave to them. And I'm hoping actually even some deacons and deaconesses are tuning in or will watch this later on to be refreshed by this, or if you weren't there at that time, you'll also find this is valuable information. Now, Cora, I have a chance to look over this material, and I've noticed that you start off with a rather somber passage here. Let me read it. It's from Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, and the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut. All right, what's going through your mind there?
Okay.
And kind of give us a little introduction.
Yes, that is a very somber passage, but I think that describes very nicely what old age is like. And as I was trying to convey to younger people what it's like to grow old. Now, I'm not there yet, mm-hmm. but I've witnessed it in so many others. That old age is a time of loss of function. And someone once said who was trying to teach to junior high kids what it was like to be an old person and why they should be respectful and helpful to the old people. She said, you know, if I would take your glasses and I would smear Vaseline on them so that you could hardly see, and then put earplugs in your ears so that you had trouble hearing, if I put stones in your shoes so that every step was painful, and I would put weights on your wrists and ankles so that you had trouble walking, and then put mittens on your hands and give you a pen and ask you to write. That's sort of what functioning is like for an elderly person, because they lose some of the function that they had during their earlier years. And our bodies, as we grow older, our bodies slow down. This in our fallen world, that our bodies were never meant to last forever, because the Lord is promising us new bodies that will never grow old or sick or grow weak. But that comes when we go to heaven. But while we live in this fallen world, we have fallen bodies, and that's one of the big problems of old age. I've also said many times, old age is not for sissies. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of grace to grow old, but God has promised blessings even to old age. And I was reading earlier this evening a passage from Psalm 92, where those that trust the Lord are promised that they would be like trees in old age, that the sap did not fail, and that their strength would continue. And so God gives spiritual strength to elderly people.
As you talk about the spiritual strength, talk to us a little bit, you've said some here about the loss that people experience as they're growing older, particularly I'm thinking in physical terms or other things that you may have in mind as well?
Well, often people as they grow older lose their health. Physical functioning becomes more difficult. They lose mobility. They lose their memory. They lose energy. They lose people. They lose family members, spouses, friends. Often they lose their job or career, which gives them a sense of significance or identity. They lose their independence. Sometimes they lose their home and have to go into a retirement center. They lose their sense of being useful or important. And they lose, sometimes they even lose their mental capacity.
Now, you mentioned another issue you've got here that I'd really like to spend a little more time on here, and that is about the experience of loneliness. Mm. What are you talking about there?
Well, I've often observed that elderly people often have a great sense of loneliness. They have lost their friends, they have lost their spouse, they have lost all of these things, and they feel very alone in the world. And as they become part of the older generation, they find that the world has really changed. They lived in a simple world, but now they have to deal with a world of gadgets and electronics, where even their grandchildren or great-grandchildren know a great deal more about things like computers and cell phones and Palm Pilots and so forth than they ever knew, and that they can function. And so they really feel, what's going on? Where do I fit into this world? And they may feel that they're no longer useful because they're no longer young and energetic. And they wonder if they still have something left to give.
So it sounds like, I mean, there's, for one thing, there's the loneliness that many who are basically shut-ins in their homes, they feel. They're just at home all day alone. But what I'm also hearing you talking about as well is that even if you have people about you, you're feeling alone, kind of isolated, because you just don't know, particularly with this world of technology, what all is taking place here.
Right.
On there. Now, let's think here then about how we're going to minister, because that's particularly the idea here. And I want you to have your thinking cap here. You've talked to deacons, and be thinking as well now here about elders who are thinking of how to come alongside, how to shepherd their elderly members. And it can be a daunting prospect at times. And so what are some of the things that they need to keep in mind as they go through the list? And by the way, you should do that as elders. If you should know by now, at least your parish elder, how to do reports and make a list of who in your parish or in different age range. I was able to do that in just a matter of minutes, to know who's in their 80s and their 90s. And so you do that as well, and be thinking about these folks. So, Cora, what are the things we need to think about in relation to how we're going to relate to the elderly?
Well, first of all, I think visiting the elderly, dealing with the elderly, can be a very daunting thing, because we can't change things. We can't make them younger. We can't restore their health. We can't restore their functioning. We just can't make things different, make their situation different. And that gives us a sense of powerlessness. And so we wonder, what can we do for these things? Also, when we visit elderly people, we're reminded that we are growing older and that one day we are going to be if the Lord is gracious to us to allow us to live, that we will be elderly, we will have the same problems, and that one day we're going to die. And that's not a fun thing. Sometimes our elderly people are very fragile. Sometimes they're very thin and tottery. And it's kind of frightening to think, I'm going to go visit this person and try to minister to him or to her. And what if they fall? What am I going to do? One of the things that is daunting is that when we visit elderly people, we need to slow down. Many of us multitask. Many of us move fast and do things in rapid succession. And we can be really frustrated because we have to slow down. And spending time with an elderly person might not give us the sense of accomplishment that we might have if we were bouncing ideas off people in a committee meeting or something. But
that's a good point that you make there about, you know, you're going to visit someone, it's just all taking a long time. It's so easy to kind of take a look at your watch. They take a long time speaking, and you may feel at times as an elder, you know, is this the best use of my time? You know, I've used up a whole day or a couple of hours here just visiting one individual. What would you say to that? Is that a good use of their time, Cora?
I think the Lord's will for us is the best use of our time. And these people are precious to the Lord. And he spent time with people. Some of the best or the most exciting things that we read about in the Gospels are the time that Jesus spent with people. And it wasn't just in the Gospels that we find this. We find Moses visiting Jethro and hearing him out. We have Abraham's sons taking care of him in his old age. And in biblical times, elderly people were respected for their age. And it seemed to please the Lord that these people spent time with their elderly people.
Now, also, you mentioned other things that when you're visiting with an elderly, they're going to have trouble retraining a thought, repeating themselves. Anything further on that?
It can be very frustrating if there's a short-term memory loss. You may say something to the person, and two or three minutes later, they may ask you the question about what you have just said, or to ask you to
and what
say
do
it
do
again.
When they do that? I mean, you know, we've just told them what we've been doing, and it's as if we said nothing, or they're telling us yet for the third or fourth time in the same visit something that they've just done. How are we to deal with that? Are we to try to correct them?
Well, one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is how the Lord teaches us patience, that we have to sit with them and be repetitive or listen to them repeat. Now, there are ways that you can channel the conversation in to move along and move on to the next subject. But I think that we are required as God's servants to be patient with elderly people.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. It's again, listening on this, and this isn't in the script, again, is kind of how do we measure whether something was worthwhile? And typically the way that we would measure, I know for myself and for others, if you have a conversation with someone, you measure whether it was worthwhile according to how well they, what they learned from it and how it changed them. But when you make a visit with someone who's lost their train of thought, who just can't keep that going, and you come away after an hour thinking, was it worthwhile? Did I do any good for that person? Did I?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think the important thing is to be faithful to the Lord and the calling that he has given us as Christians to love one another and as elders to shepherd these people. Mm-hmm. I think that we cannot assess, because really if we assessed a lot of Christian ministry, if a parent who is caring for a cranky baby assessed what a lost day we had, mm-hmm. and yet they are doing the ministry that God has committed to them. And I think that when we are visiting elderly people, and trying to shepherd elderly people and trying to include them in the life of the body of Christ, we are doing the Lord's work, and that's what we need to be doing.
So that's an important principle, just the very act, in this case of elders, the very act of shepherding itself is that which is commendable before God,
yes.
and that He is taking notice of, that you are blessing a dear lamb of His. Now let's kind of go on a little bit more about ways that you talk about how to minister to elderly people. And one thing you note is perhaps the most important is just visiting. Now, all right, so the elders have done what I wanted them to do. They've been looking at their list and seeing who's in their parish is, say, in their 80s or 90s, and they want to visit. What should they do? Should they call ahead of time? What should they do?
Well, yes. I think visiting is one of the most important things that you can do, because these people need to know that they are important to you as the elders and that you are willing to spend time with them. Yes, I think the first thing we need to do is call ahead. Now, when you call ahead, there are some things to remember. And that is that the person probably does not have a cell phone in their back pocket. They may be sitting next to the phone. They may be in another room. They may not even hear the phone for a while. So you have to be very patient and let it ring and ring and ring and ring and ring until they have heard it and until they have managed to move to the phone and pick it up. And then I think it's important to let them know when you're hoping. Well, first ask permission to come visit, and then let them know that I'd like to come on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And if you make an appointment, it's very important to keep that appointment, to try to be as punctual as you can be, because this person will really be looking forward to it, and they will be anticipating this time when their elder is going to come visit them. And if you don't show up on time, it's going to wear them out because they will be waiting.
Yeah, help us think a little bit more on that from their perspective after they've agreed. How important this visit, how they're looking forward to it. I mean, it's something that perhaps we don't quite think about. We've made the call, and it's just something that's just on our schedule. But particularly if they've been alone, they don't have many visitors, it's something more to them.
That's right. This is a very important event to an elderly person. And the fact that the church cares about them enough to have an elder come and visit them is just an enormous thing to them. And it gives them a sense of importance. It gives them a sense of belonging. It gives them a sense of being loved. And it gives them a sense that they, too, are a part of the body of Christ. So this is a very big issue for them.
I hope you all know that, again, what Cora's mentioning. It's not just you're visiting. You're visiting on behalf of the church, and you're an elder. You may, you know, we keep forgetting those things, you know, who we are. But the other people whom we're shepherding, they do remember that, and that an elder is taking that time. Now, another thing, Cora, is I see here that you note about being respectful of the elderly person, and I want to read the verse that you have listed here. You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Talk to us about this aspect of respect for the elderly.
I think that's very important in our society, Marian, because our society generally does not respect elderly people. We have a youth-oriented society, and our young people tend to be very rude and very self-centered. If you're going to really minister to an elderly person in the name of Jesus Christ, you need to be respectful of them. And one of the things you can do is to give them as much control as possible. One of the difficult things about being elderly is that they've often lost control over so many elements in their lives, over their living situation, over their body, over their, the loss of friends and so forth. So before you do anything, you ask permission. May I come and visit you on Saturday morning? May I turn on the light? May I sit down? May I do this? And that gives them the control in this situation.
Yeah, one of the things that I will do if I'm visiting someone and I notice, they'll often ask, would you like a glass of water or something? I'll often accept, whether I really want it or not, just because I know they want to be able to give.
Yes.
They want to be able to do it.
Yes.
On there. Now, let's continue about this, about the elderly in terms of showing respect. You know, one of the things I note for myself is when I'm meeting someone whom I've never known them in their younger years, I only know them as someone who is weak in body, who is frail, and I haven't seen that part of their life in there. It's one of the things that strikes me is when I'll go into their homes and see pictures of them in their younger years.
Oh, yes.
And do you ever make comments, or should I make comments about those pictures? Or
oh, absolutely. I think that's extremely important, because if they have pictures that they have taken or pictures of themselves in their younger years, you can ask about, what were you doing when this picture was taken? Where were you working? Where were you living? What was life like back then? How were you serving the Lord? Sometimes our dear elderly people have done amazing things in the spiritual world. Maybe they taught a Sunday school class for 50 years, or they had another kind of ministry. And I think it helps them to remember that the Lord used them in amazing ways, and that they really have had a very productive life. And of course, if you have pictures of other people, family members and friends, you can learn a lot of history by just asking them about these people. And also, you sometimes can get very close to their hearts, or what's going on in their hearts this way. I think of a 92-year-old woman that I was visiting, and she had a picture of her parents. And I asked about her parents, and she said, "Oh, I miss my parents so much." Well, I would not have thought of that in a 92-year-old woman, but that's where her heart was.
So one of the things we're to do is to get them to talk about themselves. Now, what about focus outside of themselves?
Yes, particularly if the person lives alone, because people who live alone tend to be very self-focused. And while on one hand you want to hear them out and hear their thoughts and hear their history, but it also helps them if you can help them to focus outside of themselves. So if you bring news of what's going on at church, or what's going on among their friends, or what the Lord is doing and how he is working, that really helps them to focus outside of themselves. And I think it's very important to ask about their current relationship with the Lord, and how is he working in their current situation, and in their homes, and in their devotional lives.
What are other things that we can be doing when we're visiting with them?
Well, we can read to them. As elders, of course, the big thing is you can read the Bible to them. But they may want you to read something else, too. You can ask if they have a favorite portion of Scripture, and read their favorite passage of Scripture. And sometimes they will repeat it along with you. And or you can share a passage of Scripture that the Lord is using in your life. They may want you to, once you're into reading, if they're having trouble, they may ask you to read their mail. They may have letters that they just can't read because their eyesight is failing. Or they may have letters from the insurance company, or from Medicare, or from another agency that they just can't read, and they really need to know the content of them.
Now, Cora, what's happening is what I knew would happen. You know, Cora has a lot of material here, and we got about 5 minutes to go. So I'm going to kind of move ahead a little bit here, and maybe we'll just bring you back up another time to talk about more things to do. But this is the thing about, you'd spoken before about how the elderly, in their loneliness, one of the things they struggle with is that they don't feel useful.
Mm.
Now, what are ways that we can help them think about how God may still use them?
Well, I learned this a few years ago when I was visiting, again, another woman in her 90s. And she said to me, "Oh, I used to be so active in the church, and I feel so useless. There's nothing I can do these days." And I thought, oh, here we go down the slippery slope to self-pity. And I said, actually, there is something you can do. You can do the most important thing there is to do. You have the time, you have a quiet place, and you can pray. Because without prayer, no Christian ministry can happen. And so I gave her a couple of prayer requests. Now, I didn't want to give her a whole list because I knew she'd not remember it all. But after that visit with her, I made it a point to take one or two prayer requests to each of the elderly people that I was visiting. And I find that they are an underused resource in the prayer world.
Well, that's a great idea. And one of the things that you as elders could do is when you are visiting with someone and you want to get, you could, you know, without going into any details, of course, you could say, you know, there is a young married couple who are having difficulties. And, you know, you would have to use discretion whether you actually say the name or not. Or you may say, you know, there's a family struggling with this. Or you give them specific things and you ask them on your behalf to be praying for them and to be praying for you. And then each time, maybe when you visit with them, you give them some updates so that they can know what's going on in those people's mm-hmm. lives. And they become partners of yours. The one thing, Cora, that you wouldn't have had here because we're just creating them is that of TCAs,
yes.
10th Community Assistance. Some of your members may be excellent persons to be TCAs.
Yes.
You may not give them 10, but you may give them 2 or 3. And maybe 2 or 3 others who are in their situation. Although, I mean, one thing, Cora, that I'm thinking about as well is, I mean, I can't think of anything better than a mature, experienced woman having on her list to call 2 or 3 young women.
Yes.
What would you think on that?
Oh, I think that's a great idea, because I think that one of the things that we neglect to use is the experience that our elderly people have lived through. And women who have served the Lord, women who have raised their families, women who have had long and successful marriages, have a great deal to teach our younger women, and it is a biblical concept. Titus tells the older women to teach the younger women.
You know, I've, in my own ministry, will often have women who will contact me. They're going through some difficult area of life, and I'm realizing what they're needing is not so much they need, you know, to come up with some great solutions, as what they really need is an older woman to kind of be a mother or grandmother there for them and say, "You're going to be okay."
You know? Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, one of the great griefs in my life is that I've lost a whole string of father figures over the last 20 years. And now I'm losing my mother figures, and I lost my own mother a few years ago, and I just really appreciate my relationship with older women, elderly women who are my mother's age or older, as mothers in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So do remember that, because the one thing as well that those who are older in years can give is, or that can't be given by the younger generation, I mean, our average age is around 32 or something, and many of our young folks, they have their brothers and sisters in the Lord of their age, and that's good, But there's a point in which it's only so good. They can't, you know, your fellow 27-year-old cannot tell you you're going to come through this, and can't give testimony of how God has brought it, you know, herself or himself through such similar experiences as well. Also, any other practical ways? You have here, actually, a mention here about meals.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I mean, some of our elderly people are still quite active. They may be slower, but they're still active. And one of our deaconesses told me about approaching one of the elderly women in her parish and finding out that she's still a very good cook and she enjoys it. And so she said, "You would be the perfect person to make meals for people in the parish as we need them." And the woman was delighted to do it because it gave her a sense of being useful and being able to contribute to the Lord's work.
So be thinking about that, you as elders and with your deacons and deaconesses. This might be a good conversation for one of your parish meetings. You have a list, and you'll probably have about 10 or so on your list who are elderly, and you go through there and you think about not just what they need, but what are ways that they can be useful in the body of Christ. We've mentioned some examples. The most important is prayer, making perhaps telephone calls, helping with meals. But there are probably other ideas as well. The only real way to do it, of course, is to visit them and spend time and get to know them. Now, I want to just close with one last thing. We're going to run a few minutes over here, Cora, because you had down here about encouraging the elderly to work on their spiritual legacy. What do you mean by that?
Well, many of our elderly people have served the Lord in the ministry of the church. I've learned a lot about the Barnhouse years mm-hmm. from some of our elderly people. And it's very important to ask them how the Lord has worked in their lives and how they have used their spiritual gifts and what jobs they did in the church, and to challenge them about passing on the faith to the other members in the family there, to pray for their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren, and perhaps have them write notes, or if they're having trouble writing, you write the notes for them as they dictate, to remind their progeny of how the Lord has worked and about the Lord's plans for the lives of the next generation. And I got this whole idea actually from Carol Wynn, who encourages people to do this, and he suggested if you have them pass on their spiritual legacy, that when they finally go to heaven, everyone will rejoice that they're with the Lord that they loved and served.
Well, that's a great thing to close on. I think this is such a strong point to almost an admonition that you can give to your parishioners who are elderly if they are not doing this. They really have an obligation in Scripture to pass on to the next generation the works of the Lord and the works of the Lord in their own lives. And one of the advantages that particularly grandparents have, they can get away with this. You know, kids oftentimes will not tolerate listening to their parents, but they will be respectful enough to listen to their grandparents. And even if it seems that the children are not listening, they're not interested now, they will remember those words another time. It might be a few years later, maybe another decade later, but they will remember that, and they will value the words that their grandfather or their grandmother had left with them. And I like particularly that idea of writing cards, of leaving some kind of note that they can hold on to as a keepsake. Well, Cora, thank you again. Now, I've already challenged Cora to come up with some more topics for us, and another topic that we're very interested in is this growing concern of people in our church who are caring for elderly parents And Cora had developed a whole Bible school class on that. So I'll be depending upon her to bring in some of those resources and people to help us with that area. So let's close this part with prayer. We do give you praise, our God, for those whom you have given among us here in this church to be our fathers and our mothers in the faith. We thank you for their testimonies, for their faithfulness and their goodness. But Father, all the more may we show the respect that you would have us to do, and to show respect to your servants, to your children, again, who are our fathers and mothers in the faith. And I pray for the elders, for them to be good shepherds of those who are older than they. And I pray even for our elders, who would even fit in this category as well, that you would continue to use them and that they would not shirk from their duties to continue to be the shepherds of their flock. We thank you for our great shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.